telling you guys before, there's going to be a lot different than Rosh Hashanah. Because at Rosh Hashanah, so we built like a basic approach with Rav Haigun and the Rambam, and everything else filtered from that, right? This is much different. This is like much more discrete little sections. And if you don't like the first one, you'll like the second one. If you don't like the second one, you'll like the first one. You'll see. Each one of these is fascinating. A lot of interesting topics we'll cover. The main topic is, if you saw from the Pesukim in the Torah, the main topic we're taking up is this idea of, not the philosophy, we'll touch a little bit on philosophy, but not philosophy, but the escorting of the Seir from Yerushalayim to where? To where? Okay, what? Soak, right? But soak, okay? That's the key thing. So, there's a few things that'll be interesting. One part of this is going to be basically the role of those who escorted the shaliach, okay, or shalach, depending on how you want to use the term, right? So that's one topic we're going to do. That's the first one, which is really difficult. We're also going to touch upon that magic string, right? The string that, which by the way, what's very interesting about that? Yeah, except isn't it odd that it's not mentioned in the Torah? Is it a Doraisa?
No, it's not like the Rambam ones. You know, it works, but it's not mentioned.
Right, just like that, exactly. So we'll touch on that a little bit. What? So that was what happened. You threw it off the cliff.
It was
done, right? And then the other issue we're going to take up, which is also fascinating, is that what's the status of the limbs of the animal post death?
Not attached.
No, because you get hana from it or not. That's interesting too. All right.
Not the English. I just want the.
Start from the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Milavinoso? Stop. Rashi. Second to last line, where it says Masnisen. Second to last line, Miakure Yushalayim.
I can't read that because I'm a low resolution.
Sorry. Mechashuve Yushalayim. So who are the. So, okay, so we know we have the guy, right, the Shaliach, with the Seir, right? He heads out on his journey. So the Mishnah says there was another halacha that what you had these other people, these important folks from Yerushalayim, who what was their responsibility?
Help him along.
What? Escort him, right? To hang out with him on the road. You guys want to be alone, okay? All right. Until when? So, AB, Atsuka Rishona, Rashi.
So, there's.
Atsuka Rishona, Sukkot Asula.
Yeah,
it's true. I'm sorry. Sukkot Asulo Baderech, right? So they made these booths along the way. So again, they went from Yerushalayim to wherever the tzok was, okay? And they made booths along the way. Uvnei Adam Hochon Lagosham, then Yom Kippurim. So what would you do? So you say goodbye to your, on every Yom Kippur, you have your Sudam Afseka, say goodbye to your family, head out to booth 3, depending on what you were signed. That's your gonna chill out on Yom Kippur. It's good, right? God was to escort the Shaliach from Sukkah to Sukkah, okay? So again, you'd go, you would, the first group, let's say, would escort him to the first booth, right? Then, whoever's residing in that booth, let's say it's the Roth booth, Roth would escort the Shaliach, I know, would escort the Shaliach to the Granite booth, and on and on and on. Okay? So far, so good. Okay. Now, keep going. Esser, back to the Mishnah. You can read that. Okay. So there were 10 booths from Yerushalayim. And what's soak? Soak is the end game. Okay? So there was 10 booths. Okay? The Kornet Tanakam and the Mishnah. 10 overall booths. Okay? Tishimris. Umechza. Stop. So it was 90 ris. Now what's 90 ris? You guys all did Rashi. What does it come out to? 12 mil.
Whatever 7.5 times 90 is.
12 mil. Right, right. 12 mil total. Okay, and how much is in each mil?
Wait, 9 rises.
No. What's? Come on, what am I looking for?
Amos.
How many amos? 2,000 amos. So, please, let's get our. Let's make sure we're clear about the terminology here. This is the only time I have to write this, okay?
9 rises.
2,000 amos. Forget the 90 risks. We don't care about that. We're not going to use that number again. Everyone knows 1 mil equals 2,000 amos. How far can you walk on Shabbos? Outside of your city? Okay. 1 mil, 2,000 amos. Okay? Let's say that for now. Okay? All right. Because I don't want to commit to that completely. All right, next. So what does the Mishnah say? One more line. Stop. So what they would do is, part of the responsibility of the booth dweller would be to call out and say, hey, Mishalach guy, we'll call him Gerson for now. Hey, Gerson, what do I have for you? What do you have for Gerson?
Food and water.
Food and water. Yeah. Right, call out to the guy, we got food and water, which meant, obviously what it implies what? Gerson's allowed to do what on Yom Kippur? Eat and drink. Okay? Now, that's not such a problem in general, because we know that a lot of things that happen on Yom Kippur transcend, well, the guys involved in Avoda transcends normal halakha. So let's not worry about that. For example, there's a whole idea like Shabbos doesn't really apply in its normal sense in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a lot of things you're doing in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos that would be usher outside those boundaries. Okay?
Like Kippur.
Kippur.
Like, yeah.
Yes. Right.
So then we'll have there be an argument about like, what do you got to do?
Special honor,
respect. On Shabbos.
For what? So far as what? Is that right? That's not. Let's worry about our sugya.
All right.
Okay, go on. So go on the Mishnah. Ella. Stop. So what would happen? So basically, according to Tanakhama, who's Rav Meir? Okay. So Rav Meir says. What would happen? He says you would go ahead and go booth. I'm not going to draw the amount of booths right now, but you take them. This is the last booth. This is booth number 10, right? And then what would happen? They'd walk one mil, okay? And they have one more mil, and then you have Cliff, right? So what would happen? The group, we'll call them Roth, okay? So Roth would walk to here and stop, okay? And then they would kind of look and watch. Hi, I'm walk with the thing and then throw the thing off the cliff. Okay? So the Mishnah's pointing out that they only go as far as here. Okay? So far, so good?
Sure. I should initialize this cliff.
This way.
Wait, so they.
I don't know.
Wait a minute.
East. Stop. Yeah. What?
So they stop at. So they stop 1 mil right. Before.
At what mil number would this be?
11.
11. Okay? So this is mile marker 11. Okay.
So they stop there.
Right. The Roth group stops there. Gerson keeps going. And they say, good luck.
Why?
What?
Ha!
That's a great question. Not you. When you say why, you don't mean...
Why can't I go?
Not philosophically. Like, right. Why did that have to stop a...
Right. That's...
Well, not why can't I go. Why can't we have another group that can go?
Obviously. Right.
Oh, why can't you go? Oh, right. Okay, right. No, okay, but... Okay. Okay, he's rephrasing your question, but to defend you, what I would say is that if you're going to tell me there's two possibilities of the distance from Yerushalayim to the Tzok, so why couldn't Rameir reconfigure it?
Add another.
Put another booth in. Would that solve the problem? Put a booth right over here. Problem solved, right? No, you're right. So I'm saying there's some bizarro concept here about being alone. Okay? We'll get to that.
That it allows him to just walk out.
No. In other words, if Rameir wanted to, he could go ahead and add another booth. Right. He Bedafka wants to be 10 booths, so the last mil, the last 2,000 amos, the shaliach is solo. Now the question, your question is a great one. Why? Why is that important? I mean, if my job is to escort the shaliach, take him all the way to the end, right? Why not? Okay, good.
Maybe that is the end.
What?
Like maybe the last mil is the end. He got to the end, and now... That whole thing is looked at as like the end.
Okay, but then what's the other side going to say? That this is the end?
Yeah.
That's going to be weird.
Why? That makes more sense that that's the end.
No, if I ask you right now what's the end, this is the end. Okay, quote the doors. This is the end. Right here.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom. No? So, this is the end point.
No, or maybe you could say desolate land is the end. Yeah.
Well, what makes this more desolate than...
Then why can't I just have zero booths and then it'll be at the end right away?
Right. Okay. Right. All right. AB, let's take out the Gemara. Okay. It's a very difficult Gemara. A lot of problems here. Because we're not, the next part is the Lashon Shel Zechuras. We're not going to do that yet. When we do that section, we'll come back and read the Mishnah. Okay. Start the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan.
Tan Rabbanan.
Stop. So first he just says what? The mayor holds, what does he hold? Right? 10 booths. Right? Now, and again, you know, I mean, she had 10 Sukkot, 12 mil. Last mil, he's bought, he sold. Okay? Keep going. Avi. What? No, he's in Mishnah. Go ahead. Avi, what's next? Shita? Rabbi Yehuda holds what?
Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Tisha, Sukkot,
the SRV. Okay. Hold on. 9 Sukkot, 10 mil. Okay? That's odd. Right? What's odd about this at this point? This is the first question you need to ask when you see this kind of thing.
Why doesn't he have 10 incentives for 10 mil?
No, why would he have 10
incentives? Well, okay, one second. What can you raise deduce from this? There's a big question and then the small deduction you can make. The deduction is very easy. Obviously, if he holds 9 sukkahs and 10 mil, doesn't care about
the walking alone.
That's for sure. So, okay, so.
Like the end mil?
Right. Can be escorted. Okay, should be. You're right.
We could just call that last mill the end mill,
Sure.
The end mills.
No.
The end mill.
Okay. Now. So. But what else?
So Rameer and Rav Yehuda don't care about the end mill.
No. Rameer says he has to be by himself for the last mill. Rav Yehuda and all the other ones say no. He needs to be escorted for the last mill because if you're going to escort someone, you take him to the end.
So Rav Yehuda says that he should be going to the
left. Here, if you like this, look.
The end mill.
Right, look. Here's Sukkah, okay? Right, now watch. What are we going to have? We're going to have like this. We're going to have Sukkah number 9. Okay, it's going to be how far from Sukkah? It's going to be 1 mil, okay? So it's going to be Roth plus Gerson.
Watch.
So take him all the way.
They take him all the way. But Ramirez says, no, they stop here. Roth can only go up to here. That's Roth zone. Right? We're tying Gerson all the way in.
So Yehuda and Rameer agree that it's 1 mil 1 way.
That's true. The only question is that whether you have to take him to the end. But as Ellie said before, this on the surface it sounds like a factual issue. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? That sounds factual because did they know how far it was?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean Rameer is in the end going to be correct.
Okay. How's he going to be correct?
Well, that's the actual distance.
Okay, but it's not a Masoretic issue. There's a conceptual issue. I'll show you. There's a conceptual issue.
Masoretic, it's about 6 or 7 miles, which is about 12 miles.
I understand, but then what's driving? But you see, the Gemara is not concerned about that. The Gemara says what? The issue is whether the guy has to be escorted at the end or not. That's what the Gemara is worried about. It doesn't care about the distance.
Well, then why are they arguing about the distance if there's more distance?
Oh, simple. Because 10 mil, 9 sukkahs, right, works out perfectly.
9 sukkahs wouldn't really make any sense.
No, right. Why is he saying 10 mil as opposed to 12?
We need more.
Theoretically,
he could have. You're right. I'm going to propose. Well, I don't want to answer that yet. Okay, I'm going to answer that soon.
I don't see how they can have a bunch of different distances. Didn't they have a set distance as to how far Jerusalem was from
Sukkot? Let's say kind of. I'll answer that. Yes.
Another question.
Yes.
These rabbis came after the time of the Beis Hamikdash.
Okay, so he holds what? He holds 5 Sukkot. And how many mil?
2. So he agrees that they can go both ways.
Correct. Now.
And 10 mil.
Don't worry about both ways yet. But right now he holds way fewer Sukkot. Why?
Because
of the radius.
Okay, now one second. But if you hold, if Rav Yossi says you can rely on Eruv, now we have another question. What's the other question? What question you have to ask right now? If we know, right, okay. So now, this is what makes this a little more complicated is that we have two issues, okay? Parallel, but there's, you know, what are these things called again? I always forget these, Venn diagrams, right?
Yeah.
We have these two issues that, and so to speak, are kind of overlapping, but you got to treat them separately. One issue is escorting the guy to Tzok. That's one issue. The second issue is making use of Eruv, okay? Meaning if I think, the way I'd set this up is like this. I'd set it up by saying, one machlokas is him, right, versus these guys, okay? That's one version of machlokas. And then the other machlokas is going to be within this. But Ramirez is not going to have anything to say about Eruv. Or he's going to pile on whatever, he's going to agree with Rabbi Huda when it comes to Eruv. Okay? We don't make use of it. So the question you have to ask is, why not make use of Eruv?
So
why was it? No, they're not making. No, you have to make the Erev. So Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda hold. You don't make use of. You don't use Erev Tchum. Why not? Why wouldn't you use Erev Tchum? This sounds like a very good idea. Why wouldn't you be able to use Erev Tchum? There's no Isser. Because it's Usser. That doesn't make any sense. Why not make use of it? But what's even worse is that if Rav Yossi actually holds this way, it's a people on the Gemara, his son comes along.
Only a question on Rav Yossi.
What?
Somebody's question, everybody.
What?
Rav Yossi's question.
No, because they don't hold it using Erev.
So they could also hold the ball in both ways, though.
Well, don't worry about both ways.
That's going to be the question.
Wait a minute.
Keep going.
How many people will stay food?
Doesn't matter.
Well, if it was one, then...
Three. I don't know.
I don't know.
There was one guy manning the booth at all times.
There was always someone in the booth. Right. So now his question is, I assume you guys during preparation work out the math works. The fact is Elazar is 100% right. He's saying, what do you have to go with five booths for? Have two booths. Meaning if you're gonna make use of Eru, what should you do?
Just have one end and one in the other?
Something like, oh no, you have two like kind of stations in the middle. No, his question is that
making the Eruv, between
maximize your Eruv, minimize your booths.
Is that the
best way to do it?
Why can't you maximize your booths and minimize? Why can't that apply to our computer may also?
Isn't the Eruv between the two booths?
Good question. Well, they are maximizing booths.
No, they're not.
How are they not maximizing booths?
You can have a booth 2 mil away and have a guy walk and meet in the middle.
That's minimizing booths.
And then maximize the use of booths.
As many booths as possible.
Economize. Right. Oh, that's a good question. In other words, what you see, what tension do you see here? There's a tension. I love tensions in Gemara. On the one hand, there's booths. On the other hand, there's Eruv. Every time I put up an Eruv, I need one less booth. So the question is, why would you choose more booths versus more use of Eruv? That's an overall question we have to answer as well. That's a tension. In other words, you gain something, you'll see. You gain. I don't care who it is. It's coursing this entire piece. No, his question is directed to Rav Yossi. It's his son. He's asking on Rav Yossi.
But I mean, his question.
Do you see? Was it? Did you look at Tosas Arash?
No.
Okay, look at Tosas Arash.
Really, his question applies to everyone.
It does, but the Gemara is directing it against. Okay, finish up the Gemara.
Come on, Asla, Tanya, Chutz Me'achar Shemahen Shalom Higia Amar Litzok.
Come on, Karebi. Right, so what's the Gemara trying to do? The Gemara is trying to tell you, don't think this is a factual issue. Rather, the crux of the issue must rest around this business here. This whole business of...
The end mill.
Does he go solo, right? Or does he be escorted to the end? And I would say, if I ask you, which way would you choose? Which way makes more sense? Really? The guy going alone to the end?
Why do you want to be alone for a villa?
But let me ask
you.
Alone.
Okay.
What I would definitely say so far, is that if he's going to be here, if he has to be alone here, there's only one reason why you have to be alone. Okay? Not because of the weight of the sins. But maybe you're getting there.
Because he's appointed.
More than that. You have to be able to, if he's by himself, he's differentiating what he's doing from the other guys. Meaning like this. Imagine for a second, just picture it descriptively. Imagine there's this goat, and there's a whole group of people around the goat escorting the goat. Which one's the shaliach? You don't know. The only way to know for sure who the shaliach is to differentiate the shaliach, the person appointed, from the escorts would be to have him be by himself at last mill. That's the first step you have to make. If you can make that step...
It would still be separated, because there'd only be one guy kicking the goat up.
It has to be nicker. Nicker means recognized. It has to be recognized clearly that his shlichus, that what he is different than the other guys. You understand? That's the first step to take. Right, so that's the next question. I agree. So what Zeb's saying is perfect. In other words, now the question is, what's the nature of the obligation of the escorts? Not the shaliach. Right, of the escort.
To make sure
there's two ways you can structure it.
To make sure he survives.
No. Okay, no, but that's the overall necessity. But it's two halakhic ways you could structure it. You're right. Obviously, you want to make sure he gets there. There's two ways that could have been formulated, though. So, come on, take the next step now. What's the next step? This is good. There's a chiyuv on the shaliach. And their chiyuv comes from what? From him. What?
Second step.
Okay. So therefore, one way to look at it is like this. One way to say that There's a chiyuv shaliach, right?
Yeah, and built up.
And then the idea of further escorts, right, comes from his chiyuv.
Right.
Or the Kohen does, but then these other guys who come along and their existence is because
are they
of the
appointed by him?
No.
Or you can say the escorts have a separate chiyuv to also bring them.
What do you say? But that's too far.
Okay.
You can't say they have a separate chiyuv, but
before.
The same.
What? To bring him? No.
They're sent from
the fear of his death or whatever you want to call that. Because of the fact that he didn't remain alive, or at the top.
What?
Of
it's a parasitic.
So then, where does it come from then? It's not extension. Rather, what do they do?
It's a parasitic.
What? Well, no. Let's take this.
State of the shliach. The.
How they worded it? One second.
It's a parasitic cleave.
No, it's built off. It's like
their cleave is based off of his.
Right, in other words, if it's built off, there's one of the possibilities is built off the Shaliach himself. Okay, so you have an idea of he's Chayev, and now the idea of escorts just simply emerges from him. The other one is, if you're concerned about getting, it's not getting the, not just Shaliach, but to do what? To get the whole thing there, everything, right? So then, what does that come from then? What? Right, that comes from the very mitzvah itself of the Seir Mishaleach being led to Tzor. So the question is, does it come from the D'oraisa overall avoda?
Oh, I understand.
Right, of Seir Mishaleach. So then that means it's an additional halakha, right? It's a new halakha, so to speak. Okay, so this word's new, right? We need, what? Because all the Torah tells you is what? Torah says, this guy's got to go take it to, what it called? Now, to ensure he gets there, Chazal come along and say, you know what? We're going to have another halakha now, which is that we're going to have these escorts, because they're going to make sure that he gets there. But it doesn't come from him. It comes from the necessity of getting this animal to tzok. But that's not what this idea is. This idea is saying that you have an idea of a shaliach, right? So what's an escort? What's this escort? He's like, his job is to escort the escort. So the identity only emerges because of the chiyuv on the shliach himself. That's different than saying this. This is more like an institutional idea. This is more an idea in the din in the. Okay, this is more din in the gavra. In other words, the gavra is a shliach, and therefore his identity as shliach now extends to include these secondary escorts. But they're there for one reason, to hang out with him. Okay, but that's not this idea. This idea is saying what? This idea is saying that it's not him. It's the entire system of avoda. It's the institution of avoda. Demands another group of, let's say, like what would you call them? Like a support team, right? But they're supporting the institution of Seir Mishaleach, not him. Oh, okay. So now what? Wait, good. Okay. So now let's go back. Oh, hold on. Sure. One last point, and I promise. Now, so okay. So which side now? Which is Rameir? Which is Rabbi Yehuda? I left it that way purposely.
Rameir
is the
first one.
Rameir says.
Is their mitzvah different?
Okay, so how is that differentiated?
His mitzvah is to bring it all the way to the cliff, so therefore he has to bring it all the way to the cliff. But you want to show their mitzvah is only an
exactly. Extension. Because this is an extension, what must we do then?
Show it. Nick it.
Right, that's why you have to demonstrate that their role is only for him. But if they took him all the way to the end, you know what you would think? You would think this. You understand? In other words, by not having him go to the end, I'm just putting it, this is a very simple way to put it. You would think this. That's what it means by being nicker. It means that, it's not, I see it. Halakhically, you're showing that his shlichus is different than what they are. Okay? You understand? But if you hold it, it's generated from the institution of avoda itself, so then they can take him to the end? Why not?
They have to take him to the end.
Well, right. They're supposed to take him to the end.
But according to the second opinion, both the shlichus and the escort, how you're saying.
Just to get the ball rolling, I ask you one simple question. Why would you want to, what's the advantage to limiting the Eruv? Not using it. Okay.
We don't want to stick a million boots there.
Why not? Maybe we did.
But you get a little better though. It's not a svara, it's just like a way to create the right framework to understand how to approach the machlokas. I know there's gotta be a better rationale than that. I'm not sure about that. Well, okay, what does that
produce? We could take 20 booths.
But what does that produce? Okay, so, okay, one second. So let's take a broader look. Forget air for a second. In other words, you're right. There's an issue of maximizing versus minimizing booths, okay? So what do you gain by maximizing booths, right? And what do you gain by minimizing booths?
Less
what? Which one? Okay, so with the Arab, you're going to have fewer escorts. But...
fewer food and water.
Okay, well, let's assume they were they had plenty of it. But what do you gain, though, by doing that? Fewer shlich, fewer escorts, but in return, what do you gain? What? Longer more distance. Meaning more hisaskus. Right. No, you're right. More involvement with the escorting process. So if you do fewer booths, you're gonna the advantage you're gonna get is more involvement in escorting. Whereas if you have more booths, right, what happens if you have more booths? You're gonna have
less
distance that each one does, but more opportunities for people to escort.